Welcome into Morning Invest on this Wednesday. It's hump day. Hump them if you've got them. Find somebody to hump. Make sure it's consensual. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about who's telling the truth. Now, Vladimir Putin says they're pulling back on their military advancement in Kyiv. Well, the West and Western media was very quick to say that's not happening. Don't believe it. Don't believe the hype. And Vladimir Zelensky saying, I don't believe it either, but please send more weapons. So who's telling the truth in all of this? We're going to go through some of the latest details out of Ukraine this morning.
Plus, we are getting information out of the January 6th committee that includes some missing information about what President Trump was doing during the riots. Is this something? Is it nothing? We're going to talk about that.
And Dr. Fauci's back. Dr. Fauci gave an interview where wait till you hear what he says about lockdowns, about the efficacy of the vaccines. There's a lot of like revisionist history going on here. So we're going to hear from Dr. Fauci. And by the way, be prepared because we could have more lockdowns coming soon. So all of that and more as Morning Invest starts right now.
When you say be prepared, all I can hear is that Lion King song now.
What's
the scar? Be prepared. Yeah.
That
really scared me for a second. Don't be scared, though. You're here with us. We're all in it together. Welcome to Morning Invest. My name is Natalie Morris. That's my husband, Clayton Morris. And we're here to break down the news of the day. It's a geopolitical type show, I would say. We talk about things that will affect you on a global level. And we're glad you're here. We have an accompanying newsletter at morninginvest.com, and that is free.
Yes, we try to cover the news that you're not going to see in the mainstream media. And by the way, speaking of mainstream media, did you see that CNN Plus started yesterday? CNN Plus rolled out their $6.99 a month service. So you can pay.
No. They got a 50% sale going on right now already.
Oh,
okay.
Do you get 50% off in perpetuity or just the first?
It's 50% off for life if you act right now. I mean, and don't forget that Chris Wallace is over there.
Not Chris Cuomo.
Chris Cuomo?
He's gone.
Now, maybe I'd watch if they had
Chris Cuomo
actually,
back.
If they got Jeff Zucker and Chris Cuomo to do a show on CNN Plus.
There you go.
No. It'd have to be like Cuomo and Cuomo.
Pervert's Corner. I'd tune into that, right?
It'd have to be Cuomo and Cuomo. I think that'd be a better show.
Cuomo.
They were funny when they did those bits together, talking about their mom.
Yeah, so I had to bring that up. But anyway, the mainstream media, that's something that, you know, we try to cover stories. You're not going to get the context and the nuance that you'll get from the mainstream media. And I saw this, before we start the show, I saw this cartoon. And I think this kind of sums up what our show is about here. Like all those people over on the left, they're following the narrative and they're going to yell at you. You're a terrible person for not changing your Twitter handle to the Ukrainian flag. You are a terrible person for questioning what your government tells you. And then we are over here trying to analyze the facts.
I think that cartoon should have everyone over there like in masks and full on body gear and all of that kind of thing.
Agreed.
And everyone should be wearing the Ukrainian flag pin.
Mm-hmm. Although, you know, I will say this. I was thinking about this morning because Jon Stewart is trending on Twitter because on Twitter they're starting to call him a bleeding heart liberal that refuses to accept the answers given from the main narrative. And I've kind of found this hopeful because Jon Stewart has been, for instance, the piece he did on Stephen Colbert, where he says, absolutely, COVID is a man-made disease.
Right.
These answers don't make sense. The things they're telling us to do don't make sense. And Colbert was like, oh, come on. Yes, they do. We get vaccinated. Wear the mask. This is. And he was like, no. Right. And so Jon Stewart is not someone you're ever going to put in a bucket with, say, Alex Jones or someone you can kind of like,
he's
maybe
like
they
bridge.
Make sense, but yes, right? And so the way that he's trending right now, it's like liberals and woke people who want to take away your rights, basically, they want to come at him, but they don't know how, because what is his major platform right now is veterans benefits, right? Specifically 9/11 first responders who have nothing given to them in terms of like survivability and for any pre-existing condition that has been an effect of their heroism on 9/11. Congress has not really supported them, and he continues to try and get them healthcare and pensions and money and resources And that is not a cause that either side can attack him for. So when he says something like, the mainstream media narrative is not making sense, no one knows how to... The right already knows how to go after Jon Stewart, right? But they can't go after him for this cause. The left doesn't know what to do with this. And I find it so interesting. It's a great way to that you just put it, is that he is a bridge.
Because, well, I, you know, the reason I put that in the newsletter this morning, the Jon Stewart commentary, is because well, we're not even really talking about that in the show, but hey, F it. It's our show. It's hump day. Let's hump it. So Jon Stewart yesterday, you know, he's on the Capitol Hill outside of this hearing, and he's basically taking all these senators to task. He's yelling at Republicans, but he's really also calling attention to Democrats. Like, he's right there calling BS, yes. And he has a platform for it, right? He's right there to having, he has a platform for it. By the way, I'm just pulling it up here because if you missed it, I want to show this speech. I thought it was a great speech, and he's basically calling out Democrats, Republicans, but mostly Republicans, for having an opportunity to take care of veterans that you are totally fine to funnel billions of dollars to the military industrial complex that poisons our soldiers. Mm-hmm. So our brave men and women who then go and fight these wars that these politicians dream up and to further the military industrial complex. The military industrial complex and these large companies end up basically poisoning our soldiers, and you are doing nothing about it, you spineless pieces of garbage. And here's what Jon Stewart had to say about it. I love this.
So this is sort of simple. I mean, you see the entire veterans community standing together, united as one, to get this done. And it's going to come down to what it always comes down to here. We need 10 Republicans. That's it. After 20 years of fighting, this is what it comes down to. 10 Republicans. We get that, and the veterans finally get the health care and the benefits that they fought so hard for, that they earned, that they're sick and dying for. We've got, damn, we wanted Kate Hendricks to be here today. She came and testified just 3-4 weeks ago. But she can't be here today because she's in hospice. That's what this is about. We can't wait any longer. This delay is unconscionable. And you're going to have a hearing today, and you're going to hear a lot of nonsense about, is this responsible? They're all going to say the same thing. We want to do it. We want to support the veterans. But we want to do it the right way. We want to be responsible. You know what would have been nice? If they had been responsible 20 years ago and hadn't spent trillions of dollars on overseas adventures, if they had been responsible and hadn't spent billions of dollars for defense contractors to poison our own troops, if they had been responsible and understood that 20 years of war was going to create an overflow and an influx of sick veterans paying the consequences of those wars. They had their chance to be responsible, and they blew it.
Now, by the way, so that was the end of it, but notice who's behind him is Chuck Schumer, of course, right? And I couldn't help but thinking, right? Like,
and Kirsten Gillibrand.
Yeah, Kirsten Gillibrand. But all of these, you know, it doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, they all support the military-industrial complex. So when he's standing there as this bridge, he's calling out the military-industrial. If they hadn't spent billions of dollars for defense contractors to poison our own troops, they had a chance to be responsible, and they blew it.
Well, he did segment on this on his show, and what it's regarding, and I don't know if you mentioned it, are the burn pits. People don't really talk about the burn pits, and where all the garbage and stuff goes that they have over there from the military bases. And they don't do anything to dispose of it properly. They burn it, and they're burning toxic, like paint cans and just all these toxic things. And they have these guys out there shoveling it and moving it around, and they're breathing in this very harmful chemicals. And even if you're just on the base and you happen to smell it, it's very harmful, and that's the whole... So that's his new thing, is going after or going to help those people and to get them healthy.
Yeah.
Right. And so he goes on to say later in this video, you can't say America first if your veterans last. Right. That does not work. So we talked about yesterday how the Biden administration wants to tax you more. Right. But what do they want to do with that tax money? It might be one thing if we didn't have someone out there saying, yes, they'll take your tax money, but they will not actually give it to anyone who is sacrificing their life for your country. Right, they'll give it to Ukraine, right? We're going to talk about that in a little bit. So anyway, I'm so glad for this archetype because he is a bit of a unicorn right now on social media, that he's not a woke left and he's not a conservative right.
It's just someone
we don't know what to do with. Someone in the chat was like, he's going to get canceled.
Oh, I was just about to say, he'll get canceled just like Russell Brand got canceled. They'll try to cancel him just like they try to cancel Tulsi Gabbard. You know, Tulsi Gabbard's getting taken down. I don't think
you can cancel Stewart. You know, I just
right.
Don't think
that's the thing. He's too sticky, right? People listen when he talks, and they're like, "That does actually."
I mean, do you remember?
Yeah, he was one of the left heroes.
He was the guy at the left who went on Crossfire. He was invited on when Paul Begala and Tucker Carlson hosted Crossfire on CNN back in the day. And
that's a famous video on YouTube still.
Yeah, yeah.
And he ripped
them
apart.
That's one of my favorites.
He ripped them apart saying, you guys are hurting America. Like, you're hurting. I mean, and then CNN canceled Crossfire shortly thereafter.
Yeah.
Because of that segment, largely because it was like CNN was like, yeah, what are we doing with this garbage?
Well, I'm glad we went on this aside because it's interesting to talk about what the government refuses to spend money on, which just seems so stinking simple, right? I want to sort of put a pin in that and remind you that when PPP package and coronavirus release packages were passed through Congress relatively easily, that sort of endowments were given to all sorts of wealthy hotels. Government money was given to hotels, which were not hurting. Government money was given to the Kennedy Center, which is an art center, which was not hurting, right? And now we have to look at these people standing next to Jon Stewart who are hurting, who we refuse to give money to. Meanwhile, as this war seems to draw out between Ukraine and Russia, the government is willing to give more money freely in terms of weapons, in terms of bullets, guns, resources for soldiers, basically everything. The United States has barely said no to anything that Ukraine has requested. So it's interesting to sort of put these together, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's like whatever makes the lobbyists money, that's what they do. Because throwing money away to these veterans and to the American people for health care and stimulus during the pandemic, that's just throwing money away. They have to look at ways they can invest to make money back for the donors.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's not really lobbyist money behind veterans benefits.
So overnight, if you've been following what's been going on in Ukraine, you may have seen some positive news. At least yesterday in the stock market, there was positive signs. The Dow jumped yesterday on news that it looked like peace talks were actually working and that Vladimir Putin was going to be pulling back out of the capital of Ukraine and stopping military advancements in the northern part of that country. And at play is the Donbas region, that there would be at least some discussion about Russia taking full control over that area. But that doesn't appear to have happened. In fact, yesterday. So the real question this morning is like, who the hell is lying? Who's lying here? Because right now you have Vladimir Zelensky saying we're cautiously optimistic, but please continue to send us weapons because we don't really believe Putin. Then you have the Russian side, which says we're pulling back, like we're pulling back our troops from that region. But then you have Western media, which is all over this, of course. Western media is like saying, don't believe it. Don't believe the hype. They were almost immediate to come out. I was watching this unfold and almost the articles started hitting the wire services. Were like, don't believe it. Don't believe it.
It was preemptive even before the when there was sort of news of what might happen. The preemptive headlines were Russia may say this, but we're not going to believe them.
Right. Yeah, and then you had stories yesterday in the Donbas region. These are stories you won't see in the mainstream media. 7 injured, 1 killed amid Ukrainian forces hitting the Donbas region. So who's telling the truth here, right? And the White House is basically saying, we don't believe him. We don't believe Putin. So we're just going to continue to do what we're doing, and we're going to continue to funnel money. You had a number of White House officials coming out overnight basically saying the same thing. Like, we're going to continue to support, and the money is going to continue to flow. The weapons will continue to flow. And so it's very difficult to really get on the ground, boots on the ground assessments of what's actually happening here at the time. And I should say, as I pulled up some different information from different areas, you have some reports from The Guardian and others in Ukraine saying we're still seeing forces here. We're still seeing attacks happening. So again, it's the fog of war. We have to, you just remember, guys, you have to cut through all of the BS with the mainstream media. The Western media wants war. CNN wants war. They do not want peace. The mainstream television, we saw CNN this weekend saying, peace talks are uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They're really uncomfortable. Peace talks are uncomfortable.
I was watching this weekend, CNN was like, watch our special coming up, Zelensky versus Putin. I was like, what kind of documentary is that, that you just threw together with, no thanks. but I don't know. I don't know the point I was going to say because I got distracted. Well,
I always love that quote. I say this all the time, that Wesley Clark said, is like, when you're a hammer, every problem has to look like a nail. And the thing is, like, our U.S. military is a hammer, and it's like they're not just going to hang the hammer up. That hammer needs something to do. It's like you're just going to either have this great big hammer and just let it go to waste. No, you're going to go out and you're going to find things. It's like we're constantly looking for nails that we can use our hammer on, and it's not good.
Right. The point I was just going to make is that, you know, it does seem like the American industrial complex needs a war, but they've had one. Why that war is not sexy enough, I don't know. They've had several. The war in Ethiopia continues to be in a very precarious place. Syria, you know, I hate to keep bringing up these same locations, but there are still people dying and hurting.
You shouldn't be.
To greater effect than just Ukraine. Ukraine is awful, but so is Yemen. So is Syria. So is Ethiopia. And we shouldn't just be seeking out the sexiest war for our Twitter handles.
And by the way, we should say that, like, you know, it's not just CNN, it's Fox News also. I mean, you have people like Sean Hannity, who has been, you know, it's sort of the opposite right now of Tucker. It's been interesting to watch, like, this unfold. Like, Tucker is, like, totally anti-war, right? And then you have, like, Sean Hannity, who literally is wearing a CIA pin on his lapel. He literally is wearing a CIA pin and basically trying to really dress down Tulsi Gabbard. I don't know if you caught this last night, really like taking her to task for saying, you know, this is, we got to watch the propaganda. We got
to see. He knows who his base is. He panders to his base.
I guess, but why is Tucker?
But his base doesn't necessarily want war. More recent surveys show that only 35% of Americans support engagement in Ukraine.
Right, but if you look at Sean Hannity's hardcore fans, like his hardcore base, they're rah-rah America.
Yeah, they are that 35%.
Yeah.
I get. Yeah, they're definitely the Hannity crowd. 35%
watch your Hannity.
What would you have, I mean, what would someone have to pay you to wear a CIA lapel pin? I mean, think about, like, a lying organization that literally foments war around the world, that has brutally killed people around the world. Like, you would wear a CIA pin on your lapel? Are you kidding me? But yet
some people are for that,
I guess. And he,
I mean, Mike Pompeo doesn't even do that, does he?
Well, I think it'd be great if we forced the CIA to always wear those CIA pins. I mean, you think about how much more difficult it would be doing their espionage around
their
the world.
CIAing.
Yeah.
Did QAnon,
whatever it is,
QAnon come out
does.
And say that he's actually, that's him saying he's CIA? Hannity.
I don't know. But he last night attacked Tulsi Gabbard and really dressed her down, and really is pushing for like a nuclear war. He's like, look, if Putin uses any kinds of weapons of mass destruction, any kind of chemical weapons, we should use nuclear weapons and wipe them off the face of the planet. So this is the talking point now coming from Sean Hannity with his CIA pin.
If Vladimir Putin wanted to negotiate, he would have done it a long time ago. He's not willing to. And if he wants to use chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons, he's got to know that his entire country is going to be blown off the face of the earth. I pray to God we never get to that point.
No, you're
so
really,
will yours, guy. Right. It goes both ways.
Like, you think you'd be fine with that in your CIA pin? How many more pins can you add to that lapel, by the way? Why don't you put the Ukrainian pin on there? Why are you not putting, you know?
It's not
pins, Clayton.
Why don't
you put your sponsors on there?
It's flair. You have to have a minimum number of flair.
Yeah, maybe his producer's like, Sean, you are wearing the minimum amount of flair.
Right. You're wearing a CIA pin. Where's your FBI pin? Where's all the other pins? But I mean, like, literally calling for, like, let's just use them. I pray to God that we don't get. Yeah, you really don't. You're not praying to God.
And if he wants to use chemical, biological, or nuclear weapons, he's got to know that his entire country is going to be blown off the face of the earth. I pray to God we never get to that point. But that's always been a threat. And it remains a threat here, and we can't cower in fear based on the fact that we've had mutually assured destruction pretty much for all a lifetime.
So that's okay. So we're all going to be mutually assured destruction. That's okay. We've been living with it. So let's just do it. Let's just do it. Look at Tulsi Gabbard. She's like,
I love her face. She's like, oh, Sean.
What are you talking about?
I cannot abide this crap.
She's like, I want to go back onto the other show that Tucker hosts where he is anti-war. Can I do that? And where this person's not wearing a CIA lapel pin? I mean, this is unbelievable kind of talk, but this is what you're hearing from the mainstream media.
Do you get that in the gift shop at some Washington, D.C.?
Daniel in chat said he's putting his foot in his mouth.
It's a good one.
But look, CNN's, you know, it's a there's a colossal attack happening despite Russia's claim to pull back.
Well, yes, but also Russia has not exactly said how they intend to pull back. And they are right now saying, we're going to keep the Donbass. We went in there already. We are welcomed there. That's pretty much going to happen. And that at least seems like something that we can I say we can take that to the bank? It does seem like they're saying we're keeping Crimea. We have been for a while.
And by the way, he's like, that is off the table. Like any discussions about like we're keeping Crimea. So you can take that off the table in the discussions. And by the way, we want the Donbass region. Can you please stop attacking ethnic Russians in the Donbass region? But that happened again last night. We're 7 injured, 1 killed as Ukrainian forces continue to shell that area. And if you listen to what they're saying, they have been saying now for years that they want protection for those areas. And that's what they want. They want the right on the front page, like literally of the pamphlet that Russia is handing out, is we want the demilitarization of Ukraine and the denazification, and we want them to stop attacking ethnic Russians in the Donbass region.
Which is interesting because the United Nations and NATO also want the denazification of Ukraine. They said so as recently as in the last 3 years. But now that they want to back Ukraine and they want to be seen as the white hats inside Ukraine, they pretend that they were never before critical of Ukraine, which is just, it's false. And we mustn't forget, right, because of the media cycle.
So,
yeah,
again,
but
we're trying
the
to
best way to denazify a country is to give them weapons.
Right.
Right.
Which the United States has done for years. You know, again, we have funneled weapon after weapon after weapon to these Nazis in this region. And by the way, called out about it. I mean, this was absolutely blatantly called out. Members of Congress called it out. Like, why are we funneling money to these Nazis in Ukraine? Why are we doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And now suddenly you're not allowed to talk about it. Like, oh, forget that we were doing that.
Right. Yeah, we can rewind the tape around the Trump scandal, right? Around the reason he was impeached was holding back those weapons, which he actually ended up giving him. But there were plenty on the right who were at the time saying, why are we giving weapons to Ukraine? We shouldn't be doing that. Mm-hmm. But now they're all about it, right? At the time, they had legitimate reasons to be concerned about Ukrainian infrastructure. But those concerns have gone out the window now that we've chosen the side so blindly. But
like
really,
you can't even walk down the street.
You can't even walk down the street.
You can't even walk down the street as a Nazi in Canada or America, you know, like get punched.
I know, and you've tried.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, but like Canada, look at Canada this recently, you know, the whole trucker convoy was said it was delegitimized because there were some Nazis there. And now they're taking the money out of their bank accounts. It's such a bad thing. But when they're on the other side of Russia, well, we can accept that.
Yeah, there is. Let's see, where is, I'm trying to pull up. I want to try to pull up the, oh yeah, here we go. I pulled up the wrong ones here. But this is February 2016. U.S. quietly enables funding for Ukrainian neo-Nazi-led Azov regiment. Oh, really? CIA manages training program for Ukrainian paramilitary report. So this is in January. Okay, this is January.
Report, of this year.
Of this year. Here's more. U.S. is arming and assisting neo-Nazis in Ukraine while Congress debates prohibition. This is 2018, guys. Look at this, 2018. I mean, it goes on. America's collusion with neo-Nazis, 2018. Neo-fascists play an important official or tolerated role in U.S.-backed Ukraine.
Right. And the same headlines are repeated internationally through the United Nations, through NATO, right? This was absolutely a position.
But now you hear from, like, oh, Putin says he wants to denazify Ukraine. Don't believe him. Don't believe the
we
narrative.
Already did believe that. This was a foregone conclusion.
Where our own press is telling us this. Own members of our own Congress are telling us this, standing up and saying, you cannot continue to funnel money to Nazis in Ukraine. but don't talk about it now. Forget, like, pretend like it didn't even happen. Like, Will Smith pretending like last night didn't happen.
I would love to see what the United States would do if there was a militia of Nazis in Mexico building a base. And having, like, we're sending a missile, javelin missiles, or not we're sending them, but they had javelin missiles, they had tanks. Like, what would we do?
Right.
We wouldn't just sit here and be like, hey, you know, that's
I'm sure we'd be fine with it. I'm sure we would totally be fine with it. So,
but no, the Monroe Doctrine doesn't allow that anyway.
We're cutting through the fog on all of this, right? So what is the truth? Well, good question, right? We know what is being said. Now it's a matter of getting reports on the ground from actual journalists who are there to give us these stories. Because if politicians are telling us, if a politician's lips are moving, they're probably lying. So now the mayor of the northern Ukrainian city of Cherniv, am I saying that right? Cherniv dismissed Moscow's claim of a scaled back operations following what he describes as a colossal attack. The city was under fire from Russian airstrikes while shelling continued through the night. Now, this was an area that Putin had said they were moving forces out of. Okay. No breakthroughs. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said Wednesday there were no breakthroughs following a Russia-Ukraine in-person negotiations in Istanbul, but welcomed Ukraine's written demands. So that's where we are right now. But we do have additional information about what's happening with the U.S. side of this. And there's a big question this morning as to what is did President Biden let the cat out of the bag? Well, we showed you this video yesterday, but now the Pentagon is responding. So remember that video where President Biden is standing there with
troops in Poland.
Yeah, with the airborne division. And apparently they didn't know that cameras were rolling and that audio was being recorded. And the president is meeting with these troops. First of all, why are U.S. troops there? And why are they like battle ready to go in? He has this discussion with them about what they are about to see in Ukraine. And he explains that you will see this. So did he let the cat out of the bag? Let me play that video again. And then I want to show you what the Pentagon is saying about it this morning.
Average citizen, look at how they're stepping up. Look at how they're stepping up. And you're going to see when you're there. And some of you have been there.
Some of you have been there.
You're going to see women.
Some of you have been there in Ukraine, in the battle. Like what?
But don't tell anybody.
But don't tell anybody.
We're supposed to think that we're not going in there.
Young people stand in the middle of front of a damn tank just saying, I'm not leaving. I'm holding my ground.
Okay. So then he was asked about this, like, the next day, to which he says, that's not true. I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all.
Are you worried that other leaders in the world are going to start to doubt that America is back if some of these big things that you say on the world stage keep getting walked back?
What's getting walked back?
It made it sound like, just in the last couple days, it sounded like you told U.S. troops they were going to Ukraine. It sounded like you said it was possible the U.S. would use a chemical weapon, and it sounded like you were calling for regime change in Russia, and we know...
None of the three occurred.
Mr. President?
Nothing. It didn't happen. Didn't happen. Don't worry about it. Well, now the Pentagon is coming out and having to walk this back a little bit, because the question this morning, did he leak, like when he was meeting with these troops, did he say something he shouldn't have, that there are secret operations unfolding?
Mm-hmm.
Because we already know that CNN is reporting this. This is CNN, by the way. U.S. troops in Poland are training Ukrainians on how to use weapons sent by the West. They're in Ukraine. So they're admitting that it's there. But now the Pentagon is coming out this morning saying, maybe not so fast. I don't believe we are in the process of currently training military forces from Ukraine in Poland. Okay, so where is this then? Oh, where is it happening then? However, the general added that there have been liaisons with the Ukrainian troops in Poland that are being given advice, but argued that's different than I think what you're referring to with respect to training.
Okay, Boris Johnson, how do you define a gathering or a party, right? So it's not a training session.
Right.
It's a liaison where we advise you. That's right. Not a training session, because we already know that.
We already know that there are special forces over there. Like, we already know that we're already there. We and people have to know that.
Well, and we've had our reporting here on this show. I've had members of the families of special forces and members of the military confirm to us that they are there, that they have been, and that they were there months ahead of time.
So let's let Philip say what he's trying to
say. No, I was just going to say, like, having a general go, well, I'm not sure if we're doing that. Like, the reporter's response should be like, well, you're a general. Is there, I don't know, maybe anybody you can ask? Like, can you maybe look into this a bit? Because, you know, who's doing it then if you don't know?
Like, that's one of my dad's like big comebacks. So my dad will be like, oh, do you want a coffee? And you say, I don't know. He goes, who should I ask?
You don't know. So, yeah, like, seriously.
You're the general, but you don't, I mean, I'm fine to accept that the president is there and just talking and he's like, you're going to see this, you're going to see that. And you're like, okay, grandpa, like that's sort of what you think. That's, I mean, it just sounded like an avuncular kind of, back in my day kind of speech, but you would hope that then there's like a real Top Gun like general, which we're going to talk about Top Gun later, that comes in and says like, okay, but this is really the briefing. It's this. Here's the map. Like that they have it down, right? But now they're repeating like, not really. We're doing that.
The White House then later clarified and said during a press briefing later on Monday, the White House communications director, Kate Bedingfield, told reporters, there's regular interaction between Ukrainian soldiers in Poland and U.S. troops that the president saw on the trip. Insisting that Biden did not accidentally reveal compromised information. Mm-hmm. Really? Like, again, who's telling the truth here? Like, we know that special forces have been there. We know that they've been in Ukraine. They're getting weapons. We're sending them an enormous amount of weapons. So we're there doing the training. But we're just liaisons. They're just liaisons.
Right. It's like Boris Johnson's work events. They weren't parties. They were work events.
They were just work events.
That's it.
There was a lot of music and dancing.
Troops are having work events, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, not training.
They just said interaction. So, I mean, they were hanging around playing checkers and,
right.
Drinking tea.
Like Pompeo said, they lie. Groups. They just spin words and be like, okay, how can we make this sound like it's not as threatening as it is? No, they're just having meetings. They might be holding bazookas while they're having them, but they're still meetings.
Come on, man.
Sorry, Joe. It's true, man. I mean, this is what's happening. And, they're trying to walk this back about our involvement there. Just call it what it is. We are at war with Russia. I mean, what else do you need to say other than just calling it by that name? We're supplying all the weapons. We have soldiers there doing the work and training, and we're supplying as much intelligence and information as we can. We are propping up through proxy all of the weapons that are in that country right now are coming from the United States. Make no mistake about it. So what else do you need? What else, you want to call it something else?
No.
I mean, that's what it is.
No, I don't.
All right, we got more news to get to. We're going to talk about Dr. Fauci making a pretty amazing admission last night. We'll tell you about what he has to say, plus a lot of questions about Trump. There's missing 7 hours of Trump telephone calls during the January 6th insurrection, and we are going to get to the bottom of that. What is President Trump trying to hide in this? Really interesting a discussion there. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Moomoo, because you have 1 day left, guys. 1 day left to get that additional stock just for signing up. So if you go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo, it's the trading platform that I love and use. It was just rated as one of the top trading platforms in the world for its ease of use and accessibility. You can do smart trading anytime, anywhere. So if you want to buy crypto, you want to invest in some stocks. But the best part is when you sign up for free, by the way, you get free stocks just for signing up. So it's giving you free money just for opening an account. And then when you make a deposit, you get more stocks. So I don't see why you wouldn't take advantage of this, because even if you do nothing else with the account, now you've got free stocks that you can sell and you get cash for it. Pay for the ridiculous gas prices that we have, that we in the United States right now. So Moomoo is great. You get zero commission trades. You get better trading experience with full extended hours, and you get free level 2 market data, all for free inside the Moomoo app. You can download it on your Android device, your iPhone, your desktop, your Mac, it doesn't matter. Plus, they've got great global investment news that you can read 24/7. So that's where you go. Morninginvest.com/Moomoo today to get those 5 stocks plus that bonus stock of NIO. You have 1 more day. There's 31 days in March, so just take advantage of that before the end of the month. Our thanks to Moomoo for supporting the show. All right.
Well, do you think that Dr. Fauci is missing his limelight? his spotlight. We haven't been able to see much of him because the media is obsessed with the war in Ukraine. But he did get a chance to speak this weekend about what he thinks is the future of the pandemic. He talked about whether or not more lockdowns should come and whether or not the lockdowns we've been through were effective. It wasn't very encouraging. It didn't feel like we did that for a reason.
Asked the question, hey, were these lockdowns effective? All you need to do is ask. I was texting with Carol Roth last night, who's the author of the great book, The War on Small Business. And I felt like saying to her, like, why don't you weigh in? Ask Carol Roth, who's done amazing journalism on the crushing blow to small businesses and Americans across the country because of these draconian lockdowns. Like, what did it actually do? Was it effective? Did it actually do anything at all other than crush small business and really destroy families and set our children back years in schooling? But Dr. Fauci finally admitted, actually conceded, that maybe it wasn't as great, but we're still not sure exactly how good these lockdowns were.
I'm interested in your reluctance to use the word lockdown. Do you think 2 years on that they were worth it, or were they too severe?
You know, I don't think we're ever going to be able to determine what the right balance is. I think the restrictions, if you want to use that word, which I tend to shy away from.
Why do you tend to shy away from the word lockdown? Because that's what it was?
Restrictions.
Did he just do air quotes to her saying lockdown, and then he air quoted restrictions?
Yes, he air quoted restrictions.
We're ever going to be able to determine what the right balance is. I think the restrictions, if you want to use that word, which I tend to shy away from, lockdown, they certainly prevented a lot of infections, prevented a lot of hospitalizations, and prevented a lot of deaths. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, when you do have that kind of restriction on society, there are unintended negative consequences, particularly in children who are not allowed to go to school, in the psychological and mental health aspects it has on children, in the economic stress that it puts on society in general, on individual families. Obviously, those are negative consequences that are unintended.
Okay, so That might be okay. Let's just give him a moment of benefit of the doubt here, because what he's saying is that as a public health expert, he has to weigh the fact that it may prevent one type of disease but cause other types of unintended is the wrong word, because you can calculate for this type of thing. Like, we absolutely can.
Especially when you created it in a lab, like, and then let it out. Like, so it's absolutely calculated.
Right.
And whatever his involvement
was. So you know, right, that children will be delayed in their learning. You know domestic violence will go up. You know that people will put off cancer screenings and other types of medical treatment that they need. So these things are absolutely calculable. So even if we give him the benefit of the doubt to say, like, well, you know, it's hard to say because it may prevent COVID. Let's pretend that is true, right? It may prevent COVID, but it will cause other harmful things. So now I can't make this calculation. That's fair enough. That's what he should have been saying all along, right? But the thing is, you can calculate whether or not it prevents COVID. The restrictions were not unilateral, meaning they were not enforced on everybody equally. So you can't really calculate how they had the effect. And then all of these other negative things, yes, we can. We absolutely can run economic models about people who will not get cancer screenings.
He went on to say that we should be ready to go back into lockdown again. We should be ready at a moment's notice to go back into a air quote, whatever he wanted to call it, restriction, lockdown in your house.
Well, that's interesting that he's saying it that way. Outbreak. Is he uncomfortable saying it because he doesn't like the backlash of how it reflects on him? Because none of us are sure exactly what it did. COVID persisted long after lockdowns, and he doesn't want to now be that guy. He's just tired of it.
I think that he had to realize at some point that their narrative has fallen apart. So it's like if he says it, he's going against the new data that's out, you know, showing that information. And it's like he's been locked away and he's still on that narrative because he's not even wearing a Ukraine flag on it, pin on his jacket. Right.
Well, even last week, he finally admitted 5 days ago, he admitted natural immunity. So, I mean, like, he's coming along, but it's like he's still being pulled back. I don't know about this old narrative, you know. And so, you know, this idea, he acknowledged in this interview the psychological of, psychological effects on the population, specifically children. I mean, says people should be obviously when you do have that kind of a restriction, air quotes, we can't call it a lockdown on society. There are unintended negative there. It's totally intended, unintended negative consequences, particularly in children. To your point, it's intended. It's intended, and it was calculated.
Wait, why did it? How did I say that it's intended?
Well, I think you meant that it's calculable. Like, we know.
So absolutely. You are able to run models on how many people under normal circumstances get cancer screenings and how many people will not.
It's kind of like, okay, I accidentally knocked over a big thing of glasses, right, that right. fall on the floor and collapse. That's unintended breakage, right?
Yes.
Now, there's a whole line of glasses, and I grab a baseball bat, like, and I hit them. That's not unintended. Like, I know what's going to happen with this baseball bat.
Well, I'm not saying they're intended. I'm saying they are absolutely knowable. I have, you know, I studied demography. I have a master's degree in sociology. I know that there are models that exist about battered women. I know that there are models that exist about kids who go to preschool and kids who don't. These are knowable facts.
Right.
The question is, do you want to know them?
That's a good question. No, we don't, and we don't care. We care about big business. We care about making sure that Amazon's profits are good. We care about big, you know, small businesses being crushed and big businesses making additional profits. I mean, that's the thing. So, you know, if we're going to have to determine, he says, what the right balance is. I think the restrictions, if you want to use that word, which I tend to shy away from, lockdown certainly prevented a lot of infections, a lot of hospitalizations, and prevented a lot of deaths. He said there's no doubt about that.
He further in that interview seems wholly unconcerned with the origins of COVID when asked why, you know, does it have the name of a lab even that was there? He's kind of like, bygones, you know, we don't really know.
You know what's,
it's
you
okay.
know what parallel though? A lot of people don't make, like a lot of people don't think about this. So it accidentally came from a lab, right? That's the narrative that
yes.
and that's pretty much the like provable now. Like it's almost fact.
This is another thing that Jon Stewart is trending for.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, but what a lot of people don't remember, there's an article in 2017 that I've read where Dr. Fauci was telling the Trump administration, not there might be a global pandemic. There will be a global pandemic that he will have to deal with in his presidency. He said that. So does that change the narrative to was it possibly intentional?
Dr. Fauci warned in 2017 of a surprise outbreak during the Trump administration. There's no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious
If you have
diseases.
A lab that's growing it and you're that confident it's going to happen, doesn't that change the narrative to a potential like
sure. And if even if you don't really care to think about it as a conspiracy or not, we should be concerned about its origin so that we can prevent it happening again, which, you know, now, yes, it's nice that you're worried about preschoolers, Dr. Fauci, but shouldn't we always also be worried that we don't have another leak like this? And in order to do that, we must actually chase down the origin. But that doesn't seem to be a priority right now. Well,
if that ends up being true, that he did that, like, intentionally, that puts him at, like, dictator level, like, you know, a name that I won't mention
criminal.
With the little mustache.
Sure. Yeah, it's criminal level.
All right, let's.
Well, no, I just, it reminds me of, my molecular virology professor saying when he was talking about, like, these virus labs and what goes on there, and he was saying that there's, like, a really high percentage, like almost guaranteed, that everybody that works there will eventually become infected with something in there, because viruses mm-hmm. are just I won't say virulent, but viruses are just
the same thing. Yeah, that's exactly the case, that it's going to happen. Like, you can count on, you can take that to the bank, right? It happens all the time. This is not some rare occurrence. So that, like, you know, and by the way, you would have long found patient zero, right? You would have long found the animal that caused this, right?
It was Gwyneth Paltrow. We all saw the movie.
But you would have long found this, right? I mean,
it was the chef.
But of course, there is no bat. There is no bat in a cave that caused this. It came right out of a lab. And I think, you know, and again, the left doesn't want to talk about it. They don't want to give into, quote, conspiracy theories. Yet I love that Jon Stewart's going right for the jugular on this. He's like, it absolutely came. He's like, it was called, you know, it literally came out of the lab from which it was named.
Yes.
Like, what mystery is there? And we're all duped about it. Anyway, we've got more news to get to here. Do you want to tell us about our sponsor? And we'll get on to, let's talk about Trump's phone in a second.
Okay.
And woke Disney coming up as well.
All right. We're going to tell you about our show sponsor over at Stamps. Of course, time is money, and you know that it is a drudgery to make repeated trips to the post office. With Stamps.com, you can skip the trip and focus on how to take your small business to the next level. Stamps.com lets you print official postage right from your computer and saves you money in the process, so you can spend less time at the post office and more time making your customers happy. For more than 20 years, Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses. It gives you the access to the post office and UPS shipping services right from your computer. Because you guys, you know that it sucks your soul to walk packages to the post office, fill things out, deal with someone who really doesn't. And you know, at the post office, they don't even give you tape. Have you ever had that experience where you go there and they don't let you use the tape unless you've bought like the expensive package, and then you get the priority tape? But otherwise, they're like, nope, you got to do your own thing. Well, Stamps.com has you prepared. You don't have to do that. You get discounts you can't find anywhere else, like 40% off UPS rates and 76% off UPS rates. So stop overpaying for shipping and wasting your time. Go to stamps.com and sign up with our promo code INVEST for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, free postage, and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. You go to stamps.com, you get all of that gift package. Click the microphone at the top of the page and enter the code INVEST. So Clayton and I couldn't find our digital scale that we had recently, and we had a package to ship. And so we both got on the scale, and then we got off the scale and held the package and got back on. And that's the dummy way to do it. And then we made sure that we each got the same result.
It was ridiculous.
Yes, it was ridiculous. So signing up for just the free scale alone is worth it. Use code INVEST so you don't have to do that.
Yeah, I don't know how accurate our standing on a scale.
That's why I had us both do it to see if that would work, and then hold the package. Yeah.
Did it work?
Well, I think so. It was received. We calculated that it was about 5-pound package, and then I paid for that. And then we're like, let's just pay for extra. So that was so stupid.
Just in case it gains weight along the way.
Redonkulous.
Yeah. We have a digital scale, and you know, they can lie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they lie to me every day. Lies to me every day.
I can get you one that tells the truth if you want. Let me know.
If you can find one, let me know.
Does it say it in nice words?
Yes.
You're losing weight. You're doing a great job.
Wow, you are a very skinny 215 this morning.
All right, let's talk about the January 6th investigation, which is still continuing. The Trump administration has turned over phone records to the January 6th commission. They came from the National Archives, so I don't think that they turned them over willingly. But during that day, they wanted to see, like, who was the president talking to during those hours, during the hours of when the mob around 2 p.m. or so broke through the Capitol, and the hours preceding that when he called Vice President Pence and asked him to not validate the election results. That phone call we know of, and basically right around that one specific time period. But there's a huge window now that we're learning of about 7 hours that's missing from these phone logs. What happened for these 7 hours? The president loves to make phone calls. I mean, I've literally spoken to him on the phone. I've sat next to him as he's been blowing up and calling Kellyanne Conway right next to me nonstop. He loves to be on the phone. He loves to call people at all hours of the night. Well, Bob Woodward.
At the time, he still had Twitter, too, you guys. So let's put that in context. He would have been using his phone.
And he wasn't. And he wasn't tweeting. And he wasn't. So there was a lot of questions about this. He did, though, take time out of his afternoon to go and make that video message where he said, we want peace. We love all of you. We want peace. That was about 4 p.m. But at 2 p.m. is when the mob broke through the Capitol. And there's this big window of about 7 hours where we simply don't know what has unfolded. And now there's questions this morning, like, what is President Trump hiding? What is the Trump team hiding in those 7 hours?
Right. And so former national security advisor and also Fox News contributor, former, John Bolton, has told CBS News that he recalls hearing President Trump at the time use the phrase burner phones in several discussions. And he said the former president knew what it meant and he was referring to them. So then this is the question. Does this 7-hour gap get filled in by untraceable phone? In my mind, that seems a bit more premeditated than Trump seemed capable of.
Well, and let's not forget Bolton, the propagandist himself.
Also, Bolton hates Trump, and Trump hates Bolton.
And Bolton is an absolute warmonger and a detestable human being. So, yes, absolutely. So consider
the
source
on that.
Okay,
the last thing you said was your opinion. He's detestable.
I don't think he's even really my opinion. He is detestable.
You have to qualify things like that, honey. All right. You can't just say things like that.
I think he is detestable.
Okay.
He is definitely a warmonger, and that is without a doubt. But anyway, Bolton... says that because, you know, earlier on Monday when the story is breaking, President Trump came out and said on Monday, like, I've never even heard the term burner phone before. I don't even know what that is. I've never heard that. So whatever, this is just garbage. But Bolton is now saying that, no, we heard this commonly. Like that was a term regularly used in the Trump White House during those days. He says that there was often talk about burner phones in several discussions. The former president knew what it meant, he says. White House records obtained by CBS and Washington Post, and Bob Woodward's reporting on this, said that the House Select Committee is now investigating the attack, looking into whether or not he used a burner phone or a personal disposable phone whose contacts could not be traced.
Okay, this would be on par with Hillary Clinton using her own email server, if not worse, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
For sure.
And so I'm not saying he wouldn't do it because of his detest of the independent email server. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that it seems a little sophisticated for the types of things that President Trump had done.
Well, and so what do we know from the reporting? We do know that the president called Mike Pence, okay, during that time.
Yes.
We do know that the president called Mike Lee of Utah during that time. We also know that during the 7-hour gap that Kevin McCarthy, Republican leader in the House of Representatives, called the president at that time. He admitted that. Kevin McCarthy admitted that he called the president. Well, then how did he call him? Because there's no record of it on the 7-hour call log. It's missing. But he says that he called him. So, okay. There's a record that you called him. There's also a record of him speaking to an unidentified person during that time. So, yes, everyone who hates President Trump is going to jump all over this story and say that there's a massive conspiracy here and that he was using secret burner phones to do what? I don't know, to coordinate an attack inside the Capitol. Perhaps. I don't know. We don't know.
I wish this whole thing would go away. We've got other things to worry about than freaking January 6th.
Well, I don't think so, because this will wrap back around. Like, if there are no consequences for what's happened, then it's carte blanche for everything else. I mean, this will wrap back
around.
They
never have consequences.
I know there's not going to be consequences.
But George Bush is still a walking free man.
Yeah, that's what like pisses me off about the whole thing is there won't be any consequences.
But, right, so let's just move on to something where we can get some consequences.
Well, then what is that thing, right? If we don't even try for consequences, I mean, being dragged through the press and going through this is a consequence that is negative for several people, John Bolton included, Trump included. But having read the Andrew Weissman book, who was one of the lead investigators on the Mueller investigation, it did seem like the Trump administration never did anything this premeditated. They just, like, even his kids, anyone who was ever around him, they didn't hide things. They never thought they had anything to hide. They thought they were invincible. So to do anything like this, like, oh, we better, you know, do something that's off the trace, they just didn't behave like that. They're not... You know, people who have egos like that, they don't think they need to hide things.
Even Jared Kushner, an example of that, it comes from a separate book, but Jared Kushner kind of got some flack because on behalf of the Saudis, he negotiated, he basically, on behalf of the Saudis, went to Raytheon and was like, hey, can you guys, like, lower your weapons costs here? We're going to sell these to the Saudis. Can you, like, make this cheaper? And like that was like a no. You what are you doing? You're negotiating for the Saudis for weapons for the United States businesses. Like, and this was like a shock. And he was like, oh, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do
that. They did the bad stuff in plain sight. And so that's why this seems to me like, I don't think so.
So, yeah, maybe there were burner phones. Okay, but then what do you hope to gather from this? Like that there was some sort of like president is like, okay, break in Nancy's office, go down the hall and now knock on that door. And now apparently, though, you know, there's questions about that after that period that he made an 11 additional phone calls after this 7-hour gap. So like why is it's just weird, though. And I would love to know answers. I hate when there's like secrets like from our government. We should absolutely know what happened in those 7 hours. Like, let us know.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? You didn't make a phone call?
Well, if so-and-so called in during that time, ask so-and-so what number they called into.
And the only, we have Kevin McCarthy, we have Mike Lee. I would love to know. I would absolutely love to be able to get to the bottom of this.
It's problematic to me because the president is not a public person. I mean, it's like he's there representing the United States. He is beholden to the people. And so that's why they have all these acts that preserve these records, because like we deserve to know what was going on. And so during Watergate, like it was like 15 minutes of missing phone conversations was damning evidence. Yeah. From Nixon. So that 15 minutes versus 7 hours. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
And like the ridiculous claim about how that tape got erased, it was like this whole ridiculous dance about him like moving his office chair, and that for 17 minutes, like the tape, he had a spin around in his office chair, and that's why the 17 minutes was missing. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's laughable during Watergate. As Glenn Greenwald reported, like, you know, the documents that are as Edward Snowden pointed out, like all of those documents that the Trumps like had at Mar-a-Lago that were supposed to be a part of the National Archives, like, you know, Edward Snowden, he said, he goes, I know people who have literally are threatened with imprisonment for the rest of their life for taking documents. Ask me how I know that. Like, literally documents that are never supposed, they're top secret documents that should not be just hanging out in Mar-a-Lago, and they have to go and get them and bring them back. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of mistakes. I'd love to find the answers to it, and I'd love to see what happened in those 7 hours. We'll see if they get anywhere with that.
Speaking of Snowden, I saw on Twitter yesterday someone call out that he has not tweeted since the Ukraine conflict began, and they're wondering why. Hmm. Why do you think that is? Why has he been quiet?
Is Twitter blocked from Russia?
Is it still? Is Twitter blocked in Russia?
No, the last tweet from Edward Snowden is on February 27th.
Yeah. So what's going on? Where is Edward Snowden? Does anybody know where in the world? I mean, we know where in the world he is not, which is on American soil.
He says, I'm not suspended from the ceiling above a barrel of acid by a rope that burns a little faster every time I tweet. You concern trolling ghouls. I've just lost any confidence that I had sharing my thinking on this particular topic continues to be useful because I called it wrong. I called it wrong, meaning he called what was unfolding wrong. A lot of us did.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think he needed
a mental health break from Twitter.
Yeah. Anyway. Maybe. Okay. We got more news to get to. Let's talk about Disney. Obviously, there's been a lot of focus on this Don't Say Gay bill in the state of Florida. Well, that was just signed into law by Governor Ron DeSantis. Disney was under fire from those inside of Disney, I guess, some Disney employees who felt that the company wasn't outspoken enough. I came out against their new CEO. Hey, we should be out here marshaling our woke forces against this bill. We should be standing firm. We are the state's largest employer in Florida. We should be standing up against Governor DeSantis. And Disney did not. Disney did say, though, that it does not agree with this legislation and it plans to fight it in courts and hopes to get it struck down. But
wait, how does Disney intend to fight this in court? A ruling about public school in Florida.
Good question. I mean, I think they will probably funnel money to any kind of court battles and any kind of lawsuits that unfold, and they will maybe try to challenge it so that it goes to the Supreme Court. I don't exactly know how Disney plans to do that, but they're going to throw their weight behind it. So, but that was sort of the public face of it. Now we're learning, as journalists have now managed to get their hands on a meeting that unfolded yesterday among Disney executives, and it is just cringeworthy, ridiculous. So Disney executives talking about how they are basically marshaling a plan to include as many transgendered LGBTQ individuals in all of their programming. They're going to war with their content now. So this was a leaked video. There's a couple of leaked videos from different executives during the Zoom meeting that got out. And I'll kind of play a few of them here from some different Disney executives. Take a listen.
It's like, I love Disney's content. I grew up watching, you know, all of the classics. They have been a huge, like, informative part of my life. But at the same time, like, I worked at small studios most of my career, and I'd heard, you know, you hear whispers. Like, I'd heard things like, oh, you know, they won't let you show this at a Disney show. And I'm like, okay. So I was a little, like, sus when I started. But then my experience was bafflingly the opposite of what I had heard on my little pocket of, like, you know, proud family Disney TVA. The showrunners were super welcoming. Meredith Roberts and, like, our leadership over there has been so welcoming to, like, my, like, not at all secret gay agenda. And so, like, I feel like I felt like it was, I mean, like, maybe it was that way in the past. But
so I've got my, so Disney, here, I'm here, you know, I've got my super not so secret gay agenda. Like, that's what I want in all of my content. I'm going to include that as much as I can with LGBTQ characters, et cetera. I've, not at all secret gay agenda, adding queerness to as much children's programming as I can. That's one of the executives speaking. Another video from another Disney corporate executive, President Carrie Burke, explaining how her experience as a mother raising a trans child and one pansexual child has helped her realize that there aren't enough queer lead characters for Disney movies and shows. And she says, we have all these LGBTQIA characters in our stories, and yet we don't have enough leads. So they're in there, but we need to make them lead characters. And now this is what we're doing. We want a minimum of 50% of all of these characters to be this. Take a listen.
I'm here as a mother of two queer children, actually. One transgender child, and one pansexual child, and also as a leader. And that was the thing that really got me, because I have heard so much from so many of my colleagues over the course of the last couple weeks, in open forums and through emails and phone conversations. And I feel a responsibility to speak, not just for myself, but for them, to all of us. We had an open forum last week at 20th where, again, the home of really incredible, groundbreaking LGBTQIA stories over the years, where one of our execs stood up and said, you know, we only have a handful of queer leads in our content. And I went, what? That can't be true. And I realized, oh, it actually is true. We have many, many, many LGBTQIA characters in our stories, and yet we don't have enough leads, and narratives in which gay characters just get to be characters, and not have to be about gay stories. And so
this is Disney's diversity and inclusion manager also speaking about this, saying that at their theme parks now they're going to remove all gender-based greetings. Can't say hi to a little boy, you can't say hi to a little girl. It has to be, hey friend, hey dreamer.
Yes.
So we're going to say, hey friend, hey dreamer, instead of a boy or a girl. On the list goes. The one that I wanted to play here is that they're going to start to include trackers. Trackers is their goal. The production coordinator, Alan March, they want to create a tracker to ensure a sufficient amount of gender non-conforming characters in all of their content. Trans, bisexual characters appearing in Disney programming. So that is the goal, by putting a tracker in all of their programming.
Space.
Yeah, I've had the privilege of working with the Moon Girl team for the last 2 years, and they've been really open to exploring queer stories. And I'm on the production side. Part of the work that I feel like I can put in is making sure that we take place in modern day New York. So making sure that that's like an accurate reflection of New York. So I put together like a tracker of our background characters to make sure that we have like the full breadth of expression. And we got into a very similar conversation, Carrie, of like, oh, all of our like gender nonconforming characters are in the background. And so it's not just a numbers game of how many LGBTQ plus characters you have. We got the further, the more centered a story is on a character, the more nuanced you get to get into their story. And especially with like trans characters, you can't see if someone is trans. There's not one way to look trans. And so kind of the only way to have these like canonical trans characters, canonical asexual characters, canonical bisexual characters is to give them stories where they can like be their whole selves.
So that's the secret meeting that was leaked.
Well, that is true. The person at the center of the gaze gets their story told, right?
At the gaze.
The center of the gaze, right? The center of the story. That's why we call him the protagonist, whoever the story revolves around.
Gaze meaning eyes.
Yes, gaze. Okay. G-A-Z-E. Not gay people.
Okay. I know. Right. I'm like, okay, what? The center of the gaze. I'm like, well, who is the center of
Natalie
the gaze?
Just went full on.
No, I don't think you know, that's
okay.
That's only
clarify.
One of the many letters we're supposed to say. I'm talking about the gaze, like the, you know, whatever, whose story gets told, who lives, who dies, who tells their story.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I get it. Right. So the people in the background, if you're trans and you're in the background, we don't know you're trans. So now we have a tracker we're going to build in so that we really know that that person who's like a bit player in the show, in the character is trans. Like we're really going to make sure that that's
they're just
prominent.
Okay. But what's so wrong with quantifying how many people we have that have diverse stories when only one type of person has had their story told for, you know, most of modern history?
There's nothing about telling other stories. It's about like eliminating gender identity. That's my biggest gripe with this. We can't even figure out what a woman is. We can't even figure out what a boy is. We can't say hi to a boy. We can't say hi to, we just have to call you a dreamer. We can't, you know, you're a little boy wearing a Mickey shirt.
Right. Welcome. But we've taken our kids to Disney many times, and it used to be protocol that you called all little girls princesses. And I am not one who thinks the typical princesses are empowering characters. And I always was kind of like, because studies do show that little girls who over-identify with the Disney princesses have lower self-esteem and body image markers. And so I'm fine with not, although I don't need a renaming of them, which now we don't call them princesses. We call them heroines, right? But not all of them are heroines of their own stories. And so, you know, that's sort of maybe over-empowering. I'm more concerned with actual sexualization of children's programming, period, right? I don't need it. I'm fine if one of the characters has gay dads or they have, you know, trans families, but I don't want in children's programming sexuality, period. I actively avoid that for my children,
right?
Up to a certain age when I think it's appropriate, right? And so I understand that there's this, like, there's an offensive bit about the Don't Say Gay bill. Well, a lot of it's quite offensive, but I think the intention of like, hey, let's not sexualize children before they're ready is good, but it gives people a lot of opportunity to go to jail or get sued for mentioning so-and-so's gay dads, right?
Well, I don't even know why it's such an obsession to even, like, no, I don't care. Like, if I'm watching a character, I want the story. I don't care what they identify as. I don't care their sexuality. I don't care about any of that stuff. And it's like, now they feel like they just got to, like, put it on our face so they can, what, get virtue points for, hey, we got our quota of, you know, this number
right,
of people.
I think that's the big reason. I mean, that's the reason I wanted to cover this story is, like, they're going to flood all of their content with all of the, like, we're going to beat each other over the head with this now so that we have to flood.
It's like
us.
That Microsoft event.
Quota.
Right.
Did you see that Microsoft event where they're like, hi, my name is Mike. I'm a straight male. I identify, or my pronouns are he, she, before they, like, give their talk at a Microsoft event.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm okay with presenting various life situations. For instance, my kids like the reboot of High School Musical, the series, not the movies. And there are gay characters in that. And that's appropriate for that, I think, for that age group. And I'm fine with that. But Sophia the First does not need any kind of sexualization. Period. Sophia doesn't like boys. Sophia doesn't like girls. Sophia is not other. She doesn't have gender dysmorphia or body dysphoria or anything. I don't want it in that programming, right? But I'm okay, like, for age appropriate type things. So why are we in a rush to sexualize small children?
Right. I think that's what the bill does, right? Which is it may not, you may not do any or sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade three in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. And so Disney employees holding this meeting saying that they're going to push back in court and they're going to take this as far as they can. So,
but
and
there,
then meanwhile, Governor DeSantis says, I don't care. I don't care what a big corporation says. I don't care what,
yes,
you know, he's like, okay, I don't care what big corporations are going to tell me to do, like in our state. So,
but there absolutely is a method to this madness to sexualize children early, right? And so there's this sort of this woke, like, you have, if you are against it, against sexualizing your children really early, then you're not part of the woke liberal, you know, so that we can what, right? Make everybody like you or make everybody confirm everybody else's choices or what have you, right? It's like gender, this sort of need to over genderify everything. We're like, that's for boys, that's for girls, is what is causing this division when, to me, it's crazy to then like push it on small children so that we break apart harmful gender norms.
So I mean, there's a lot to unpack here, and so I'll go on a bit of a rant. But I think there is a certain amount of, so it has to be in your face and it has to be loud, because if you look at like the LGBT community, this is not new. They've been around for as long as history has been recorded, and so being quiet got them essentially like arrested, murdered. They would be beaten to death, like trying to just live their lives quietly. People still attacked them. So there has to be some kind of pushback to normalize in the minds of people that this is okay, that we get to live our lives without this constant onslaught. I mean, you look back at like people like Alan Turing, who basically won World War II and was arrested because he was gay.
Because he was gay, right?
An absolute war hero, like a worldwide war hero, and yet was arrested because he was gay. So it's like, because that can happen, the only way that doesn't happen is if you are normalized. If you can get to that point where a character can just be gay, and that's fine, but it's like they can't just do that.
But it is fine. A lot of people are totally fine with the character being gay.
But they can't just do that because
if you're quietly doing that, then you're back to that, like, it's okay for you to be gay, just don't talk about it. Don't put it in my face. People say that all the time. I don't care if you're gay, just don't put it in my face. But when it wasn't being put in people's faces, there was still so much violence and so much pushback. Like, it was literally illegal. And it's still illegal. Like, in many countries, it is absolutely illegal to live your life. So you have to fight back.
People that are saying this, like me, are not saying don't show gay, don't be gay, don't. That's just, I don't. Why does it have to be the main focus? That's what I'm talking about. Like, you're making it a point to make that a focus.
Have you ever seen a rom-com? What is the main focus in a rom-com? It's heterosexuality.
Yes.
Why are you not upset by that? Why are you not upset that the entire point of that movie was heterosexuality?
Because that's not what I see. Maybe that's what you see, but I don't see heterosexual. I just see a movie. I see a good story.
That's fine. So, like, that's fine.
And that's all I want.
Was Brokeback Mountain a good story? No, that's a gay movie, right? And so can we have more stories that are just a movie, just plot-based, right? But, again, that are age-appropriate, right? There should be no gender, no sexuality in children's programming up to a certain age. Like I said, I think Disney does a good job of High School Musical. They're not like bit characters, the ones that are gay. It's fine. It's good. I'm happy to see these stories in an age-appropriate manner.
Right. Again, coming back to the book that you read on, what is it called?
Irreversible Damage.
Irreversible Damage. So this idea that somehow, and we hope that, you know, that somehow kids are at a certain age where they're they're being influenced by social media and other media forms of media pushing them in a direction that they're not even ready for or
right.
can't make a decision for their own bodies yet. And then they get some sort of like they're taking kind of drugs or hormone drugs. They're taking
right.
or they're getting some sort of a surgery that's preventing them from actually becoming a man or a woman. Is really troubling. And so to have these like social media interventions before they're ready for it,
yes,
is troubling.
Yeah. So
Dirty Minor Apparel said, "Why does this even need to be in any programming?" Oops.
Children's
content. I would rather not even expose my 8 and 11-year-old daughters to this.
Well, by 11, you sort of have to. Otherwise, they're exposed and you're not a part of it. And that is what scares me more than anything else, is that the first conversations they have about it are not conversations you can participate in.
Right.
And I mean, I guess that's kind of to my point, is that like, if you're going to take that stand that like, until my kid is like 8 or 11, I don't even want them to know that the LGBT community exists. Are you taking steps to make sure that there's no heterosexuality normatives being pushed on them also? Because it's
the antithesis is a good question. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I get this whole thing because it like you literally are talking about somebody that's been oppressed for so long, but not in every culture. I mean, like you take like samurai, homosexuality was very, very common. And I know people don't like to hear that because, you know, they were the badass warriors of history. But these are things like they were very common.
Greek Olympians, they had like their little boys with them all the time. That was their thing so that they could keep women virginal. They kept little boys with them. Yeah. So, yes, it's definitely not a new thing.
Rumpelgold in our chat says, as a trans man, I'm not happy about the push for trans media. I'd be curious why. I mean, that's, you know, we can sit here and say like, okay, these big corporations, these woke corporations have this agenda to push certain things.
But here's the thing. Disney is responsible for girls wearing princesses, right? And then there's this sort of subset of people who say boys should not wear that. And I think this is where the breakdown gets, is like things that are gendered come from this gendered programming. So like, oh, the princesses are just for the girls. And it needs, if we're really breaking down norms, we should break down just any kind of things that are gendered, not people, not sexuality. That has nothing to do with sexuality. Little boy painting his nails, wearing a hair long, putting on an Elsa dress. Like those things should be acceptable with nothing to do with sexuality for a young boy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to hear Rumpel's thoughts on why, you know, again, I think it just comes back to this idea of having all this programming like a quota. And we have to fill certain quotas with, you know, I don't know. So Sabi says, as someone who was on Tumblr in 2016, the main breeding ground for all of this, the intention is almost entirely sexual. It was a grooming hellhole. Rumpelgold says it gives me dysphoria and it leaves me feeling like that I'm not a passing man. I'm a man. I'm not trans. You know what I mean? It's othering.
I need to unpack that. So he doesn't like trans programming because it makes him feel othered.
Like you're somebody other than who you
like
are.
Like it's a third. It's not male, female, not man, woman, but like a third. Trans, where
okay.
I think what Rumpel is saying is
he
that
wants to identify.
He is a man, yeah.
Yes.
And so stop trying to make him a third category.
Right,
I get that.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So now we have to have like this list of it was LGBTQ a few like months ago.
Right.
Now we're adding on these additional
Right. No, actually, Abigail Schreier makes that point, is that like trans people do not want to fight. They want to identify as the gender that they're choosing, period. Let me fit in. Let me not have a fight with everybody, you know,
right.
And just be a woman or be a man.
Live
and,
your life.
Yeah. And I get that.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that point in. That
great
I
point.
Lacked the perspective of that.
All right. Great discussion here. So I don't think you're going to see this discussion really on CNN Plus. But thank you for having a good discussion here. But I wanted to bring that to you. I mean, this was leaked video from this Disney meeting, and there's this battle unfolding in Florida, and you get to hear what this big corporation is trying to do about it, and it's worth having a broader discussion about it. The nuance here is important, I think. All right. You want to tell us what's trending on the internet?
Sure. Okay, let's do. Spam text messages is trending because people in the U.S. are reporting getting these spam texts, many linking to Russian websites, from their own cell phone numbers. The call will come from inside the house or some kind of link. Basically, guys, never click on things you do not recognize or from someone you don't recognize. If you did not send yourself a text, don't click it. Hackers can get to you in all manner of ways.
Yeah, The Verge, reporter for The Verge got one of these. He's like, normally I would just delete it. I wasn't paying attention. He's like, but it was really weird because it was my own phone number sending me the message. He's like, what? Why? I don't get it. Like, my own phone number is sending me a text message. Okay, what the hell? Verizon, though, I mean, I don't know. It's weird. I mean, it's weird. So, you know, this is how they can take over your phone, by the way. John Podesta, remember John Podesta? Hillary Clinton's, like, you mm-hmm. know, very close. He worked in the White House under in the Clinton administration. Remember when John Podesta's emails and were hacked?
Yes.
Back in the day. All it took was him getting a video sent on his WhatsApp, and he clicked the video and it took over his phone. And the reason that we got like millions of his emails is as a result of just him clicking on one little video in a WhatsApp message. So don't do it. If you don't know what it is, don't click on it. It literally is how this stuff is installed on your phone. So don't do it.
All right. Zelda is trending because the sequel to the game, The Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild, has been delayed. I'm sorry to tell you, until 2023.
Come on. They gave us that little, what was that little Zelda they gave us?
There was
recently?
A teaser recently, yes. And so we are not getting it this year. Sorry, it will not be under your Christmas tree. Mick Mulvaney is trending because CBS News has hired the former Trump acting chief of staff as a contributor.
Of course.
So that's interesting.
The revolving door.
It's a revolving door, vicious circle, right? They all want to be, you know, you go from the media to politics, back to the media.
All right.
Defense contractors, back to the media.
Top Gun Maverick is trending because there's a new trailer out. The movie is coming now. It was delayed for the pandemic several times, but here it comes in theaters on May 27th. People are excited about it. Also full of cracks about Tom Cruise being a senior citizen now. He looks pretty good, you know. Yeah. I did find it interesting. I know this is super ageist, but there's like he's riding the motorcycle without a helmet. Which I guess he did in the original one. And mm-hmm. you think that, like, because people make jokes about his hair and it's like the wind blowing, like, you only do that if you're confident about your hair and your hair color. It's like, okay, he's, you know, he's still youthful looking. It's like he's trying to, I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say without trying to say it.
I love Top Gun. I mean, that movie, like, you know, as a kid, you're like, oh my God, I want to fly jets. You know, I think my friend Kyle, like the reason he became, if he's watching right now, I don't know if this is true or not, but I think that was what he said. Like
the story he told about. So we have a friend who is in the Navy, right?
He's a Marine.
He's a Marine. And one of his like commanders or something actually took Tom Cruise up in one of the fighter planes with him and then tells the story about it. I was like, wait, Tom Cruise actually did that, like, as research for the movie on taxpayer dollars. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, do you think we should be paying for that? And he goes, did you know that enlistment for the Marines went up like 500% or something after that movie? So yes, absolutely. Taxpayer dollars are, you know, like the military has no problem sending money to send Tom Cruise up in a jet. So
yeah. Oh, that's anyway, the best.
Wonder what the carbon footprint of Tom Cruise Joyride was.
I'd like to see it though. I want to see it in IMAX on that big screen, like you're in the cockpit of that thing. I don't know. I'd like to see that.
That might be babysitter worthy. You know, that's how we grade our movies. Would we get a babysitter to go see that? Maybe.
Sponge worthy.
What's sponge worthy?
Never mind.
I know what you. Yeah. Okay. Kareem is trending. I know. You know. I got to bring back the. Will Smith slap story because I just can't get enough of it. Kareem is trending because basketball legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote a post about the Will Smith Oscar slap. And I want to say it's actually well done. Now, he does say this is not good for the black community because one of the main talking points from those supporting systemic racism in America is characterizing blacks as prone to violence and less able to control their emotions. That has not been a talking point that's well received from the black community. Like, he represented black people poorly. In fact, one of the hosts of the Today Show, who is a black man, said something similar and people took him to task. Like, don't say that. It doesn't represent black people well. So, okay, let's put that aside. But I do think that he makes a good point. He's like this scholarly athlete. It's really gone viral. He makes this point that I was trying to make the other day, that this slap was also a slap to women. He says this: if Rock had physically attacked Pinkett Smith, then Smith's intervention would have been welcomed. Or if he remained in his seat and yelled, that would have been unnecessary but understandable. But by hitting Rock, he announced that his wife was incapable of defending herself against words. From everything I've seen of Pinkett Smith over the years, she is a capable, tough, smart woman who can single-handedly take on a lame joke at the Academy Awards show. This was what I was saying, is this, like, he spoke for her in a violent way, right? Right. That's not chivalry. In fact, a lot of people online are like, oh, how sweet, he cared about her, he defended her honor, right? I think he did the exact opposite. He trivialized her. And so I think, I do suggest you read it. I enjoyed the piece.
My favorite.
Has she even
though,
said anything about it?
She put something on Twitter that said, now is a time for healing and I'm here for it. So she's ready to heal herself. Although presumably she was not hit. So she's healing emotionally.
Chris, ticket sales for Chris Rock shows have skyrocketed.
Have they?
Yeah. Good. Also, I think it's really important. You know, and I tweeted this last night. So forgive me for repeating my joke, but you know Will Smith crossed a line when O.J. Simpson has a problem with him using violence to express himself. O.J. came out yesterday and released a video on the Will Smith controversy, and he was down at spring break, and he said, you know, I'm surprised, you know, I thought people would be asking me about, you know,
hitting
this,
women.
Game, this game and this other stuff. He's like, and this new NFL overtime rule. He's like, but... no, he's like, what most people want to know is like my thoughts on the Will Smith thing. And he's, you know, and he chimes in about how he thinks it was bad to hit women. And I'm like, you know, but he's okay with killing women. It's just like, he can't, you know,
one time,
just one
who's
time.
Who's going he to just... OJ for that kind of question? Like,
that's basically that... where I get all of my life advice is through OJ.
Like,
he's got a blog called Ask OJ.
Yeah. I was just going to say that exact same thing. I go to the OJ. Ask OJ website. And I'm like, OJ.
I don't even use Ask Jeeves anymore. I use Ask OJ when I want. Like, hey, is it okay to hit a woman? And then OJ, you just go to OJ, Ask OJ and says, it's not okay to hit a woman. It's okay to kill a woman, as according to OJ. I couldn't believe it. Like, you know, Will Smith is like, oh, man, like, you know, I must have really crossed the line when my man OJ thinks.
I'm just waiting for, I don't usually follow those Perez Hilton, like watching celebrities get Starbucks and stuff, but I do want to see Will Smith going out for Starbucks looking all contrite. I don't know what more I want from this. Also, James Corden is trending because he basically said, like, Chris Rock is amazing for having recovered himself and that Will Smith can't take a joke. So all kinds of now celebrity responses are trending.
Yeah, Jim Carrey came out. Jim Carrey's response I thought was really good.
Yeah, I loved it.
I loved it. He was like,
I didn't know he could be that serious.
Yeah, he was incredibly serious and he was really thoughtful. And he said, look, you know, he's like, it was really, really incredibly selfish of what Will Smith did. Incredibly selfish and, you know, just really ruined a night for people who worked really hard to get there. Like, for people who really, really worked hard their whole lives to get to this level and this, you know, in this event, and to have that whole night taken away from them. Like, it just,
yeah, because he was saying how grueling, like, once you're nominated, he said your life is like, it's just this grueling thing of all these things you have to do. He said it's a lot of work. These people put in a lot of work to get to that point.
Yeah. and how to have it taken away from you. And he said, this is what's wrong with Hollywood. Like this, you know, rich, entitled person gets it. He goes, it was assault. Like gets away with this on stage. And then we literally give him an award later.
And like, clap and party with him. Yeah. And then still let him pose for pictures.
And like, and tears into the calling them spineless. He says he was sickened by it and that it was a spineless move for the Oscars. And by the way, I tweeted this also. Let me see if I can find my tweet about this. Because I thought it like one of the most ironic tweet, like self un, like unaware or so like unself-aware. What's the word I'm looking for? Most ironic tweets I've seen. I tweeted this last night. This is the most ironic tweet I've seen in a week or so from the Academy. The Academy does not condone violence of any form. All these people are like, really? What about Harvey Weinstein? Like, you really like, no, that's all you do is condone violence in any form. That's how you, that's your whole trade. You literally like you gave an award to a guy that just punched a guy.
Right.
On your show.
Yeah.
That's exactly
you
what
let
you
him
did.
Still stay seated there when he had attacked another performer.
He wasn't escorted out. Oh, and by the way, he also then got an award.
Yes.
You gave him that
not just an award, the marquee award of the night. Like you can say the way that we rank awards, our best actor, best actress, right? Why we gender these things. Let's put that aside. Best supporting actor, best supporting actress. This is the this is the ultimate award of the night. Was yeah, awarded well, to
I
mean, someone.
Go back to that tweet. It should read the Academy doesn't condone violence and blah blah blah. But congratulations, Will Smith, on your win for the...
Right. Well, but you did that, also, and it's okay.
I could also see like a very real situation where it's just a bunch of people behind the scenes that had no idea this was going to go on. And after it happened, they're like, what do we do? And so like all of the indecision, while they're trying to figure out what to do, the time has already passed. And so they can't come out like an hour later and be like, oh yeah, we need you to go. You know, like, so it probably well, like I a mean, lot of look, it could have just been indecision because how often does that happen? There's no protocol.
Yeah. Somebody could think on their feet. Chris Rock did. Right? Somebody could say yep. He has to be removed. And then, yes, he did too. And then when it comes time and he is announced as the winner, we'd say, we will give this to him at a later date. Like he does not get this spotlight to say, you know, anything. Like he assaulted someone, has to leave the building, period. But that did not happen.
Well, I imagine it will be a rule going forward.
Well, and apparently, I love the ridiculousness. Like even Brian's Chloe Milos, who I used to know, she's an entertainment reporter. She now, I think, she works for CNN. She reported that apparently the Academy thought to do something. They thought that they were going to be mobilized into action, but because they were peppered throughout the hall in different seats during the event, they basically sat panicked and didn't do anything. They didn't know how to mobilize themselves.
Okay,
to like
but
take
there
action.
Is actually a director and a producer,
oh
right?
God.
There is a security team.
Yeah,
that says if anyone rushes the stage with violence, remove them. So all of these rules were bent for this person who was going to win. So you have to know that they knew in advance who was going to win that night.
Yeah, if that would have been a C-lister. If that would have been a C-list actor, they'd have been out of there. Or even
for
B-list,
sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am interested in this race question. I don't want to talk about it right now because we'll go down a... but I am interested in it. We'll put a pin in it, maybe for another day.
Okay. All right.
Can I point out that the O.J. Simpson played a very funny character in The Naked Gun? Like, I thought that character was hilarious.
O.J.?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Nordberg,
yeah.
Nordberg.
He also makes a cameo in one of my favorite movies, Back to the Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so disappointed when that all went down because I was like, dang, he was funny in that movie.
Well.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Do we have any super chats to get to before we go?
I think we responded to most of them already.
We took most of them on in real time. Yeah.
Let's see, we got Nathaniel Turner was sent a super sticker. Thank you.
And then the one by
Marcella Marie. Love you all. Can you revisit the cannabis stock out of Mexico and advise us on what platform we can successfully... Philip, when you do that, I can't read it. What platform we can successfully purchase the stock. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, so it's I featured this on Sunday night. When I featured it on Sunday night, it was at 13 cents a share. It's now at 17 cents a share. It popped up about 50% or so in value this week. So, and when I talked about it about 2 months ago, I was following the story on this company. It was at 10 cents a share. So now it went to 13. And then I on Sunday when I featured it, now it's at 17 cents. Zebra Brands. So again, watch that video from Sunday because I kind of go into detail about the coming like cannabis legislation in the United States and what's going to happen and unfold and why this company is a first mover. I use E-Trade. So E-Trade is the platform that I use. You can trade it there. I think you can use it on any of the big platforms. It's an OTC stock, which means an over-the-counter stock because it's a smaller cap stock. You can't do it on Robinhood or Webull, I don't think, or Moomoo yet because it's a smaller cap stock. So you need to use one of the bigger ones like TD Ameritrade or E-Trade or Fidelity or one of the big exchanges. So that's the only caveat there. For smaller cap stocks, you need to do it there. So yeah, it's Zebra Brands and the ticker again is XBRAF. And it looks like it's a little bit of a discount because it was at where were we? It was at hit 20 cents or 21 cents the other day. So, and it was at 83 cents in December. So again, you know, on larger volumes, so it's quite a discount right now for that. So, yeah, that's my thoughts on that.
And then Joe Calamaro is the last super chat. It's called grooming. That's what Disney is for.
I wonder if that is ironic, ironically said. I think so. I saw it when you said that and I was wondering. Yeah,
you never know with the chat.
Yeah. Okay. I hope so. Yes. Okay.
By the way, I should make a little public service announcement. You know, as we do research for the show, I try to look at all sources and all manner of places, and it's increasingly difficult to find things that are not being censored by European Union, by America. And so, you know, if you're in one of like the 31 member states, basically, or 28 member states of the EU, plus the additional three that are in the European Economic Area, whatever it's called, the additional three, which would be Iceland. They're not technically members, but anyway. So if you're trying to add, like, normally Iceland would be where I would route my VPN through so that I could read additional sources like Sputnik News, read RT, get like additional news sources on this stuff, right? Out of India and so forth. So you can form have an informed opinion, not just listening to CNN. But you can't. I mean, it's really like even Iceland, you can't even get it because they blocked like these things. So I successfully managed to route through the Bahamas. So just a little part, if you use a VPN and you want to get access to, for instance, want to be able to read like RT News, you want to see what's happening on Sputnik News or others, set up your VPN route through the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. At least there you can get access to some of these different sources. So,
well, and also Odyssey and Rumble still play them.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, so you can through Rumble, and we're going to be adding our Rumble channel big time here in the next week as we make this big change.
Did RT shut down their Washington office? Did you say that?
Yeah, in America they did. Yeah.
Wow, that's so sad.
And those reporters have been laid off.
Wow.
They're basically like, well, what can we do then?
Well, and you say laid off, but like, who's going to hire them now? They're going to have to go independent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really sad.
Because that's what happened. They left those. They left the MSNBCs and all that stuff to get away from them, because they didn't want to push the establishment narrative. And now they will have nowhere to go.
Well, and like this story here. You can't find this in American media at all. Like what's happening in the Donbas region right now, and how Ukrainian soldiers forces are still shelling Russian people that live in the Donbas region. Like, good luck finding that on CNN. You won't find it there. So again, it's important to get it, you know, you can form your opinions based on fact. But if you only have 50% of the facts, then how are you going to do that, you know?
Well, right. And that's the thing. Like, I remember like everybody being so up in arms that China was censoring and stuff, and like, oh my gosh, that better never come to America. We got to be careful that never happens here. And we're there.
Mm. Yeah.
Yes.
All right, everyone. Well, we've had our say for the day. Thank you, YouTube, for allowing that. And we will try to have our say tomorrow. Remember to subscribe to the newsletter, hit that like button. And thank you for joining us. Remember, new time starts next week. So we will see you here tomorrow, same time.
Thank you, guys. Peace out.